The Gospel of Luke and the second chapter, Luke's Gospel chapter 2. I'm going to read a passage here that does relate to what I want to deal with today in our ongoing study on Christ the Shepherd in John 10, but our Bible reading will be here in Luke chapter 2. And of course, a passage that does relate to the birth of our Lord. Beginning at verse 8, Luke chapter 2 and the verse number 8. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." And God will bless this reading of his own infallible and precious truth. Let's all bow together, please, before the Lord, and we will just take a moment before we turn to God's Word, and let us settle our minds and our hearts before the Lord to listen to His Word. And we encourage all the boys and girls, all the boys and girls now just to bow together as well in prayer, and you sit up and be still and quiet right through the whole service as we come now to God's truth, to God's precious Word. Let's all pray. O God, our Father, we pray today that Thou wilt draw near to us and Thou wilt bless us in this time that we give to the preaching and the hearing of the Word of God. We ask Thee, Lord, to speak to every soul, to deal with every heart. We pray that Thy Word will come with power and with freshness. We confess, Lord, we need Thee to cause Thy Word to enter into our souls. And Thou dost do that by the Holy Ghost. And may His power and His glory be felt, and His power be upon us as we consider the message of the Lord. Hear us, we pray. Bless us now. Meet with us, we ask. And to Thee we shall give all the glory and all the praise, we pray in our Saviour's name and for our Saviour's sake. Amen and amen. Now please turn in your Bible to John chapter 10. John's Gospel chapter 10, where we read in verse 1, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now the Word of God records, as we saw today in one of our readings, that the first to proclaim the birth, the glorious news of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, were the shepherds who had been tending their flocks on the plains of Bethlehem. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 17, we are told that when the shepherds had seen it, that is, when they had seen the great and glorious scene that was presented to them in the appearance of the angels and had heard what the angels had to say, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. Therefore, in essence, those earthly shepherds went forth to speak of one who was also a shepherd, but who was a shepherd in a spiritual sense. That is, the great and the good and the chief shepherd, even our Lord Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save his people from their sins. Now the Word of God reveals to us as we study it that this portrayal of the Lord as a spiritual shepherd is very dominant. We find that some of the very prophecies of the coming of the Lord into the world as the promised Messiah present him as a shepherd. One of the greatest of those prophecies is in Isaiah chapter 40. In that tremendous portion of the Word of God, the prophet presents a vivid picture of the dawn of the New Testament era. And you will find there that he begins with John the Baptist, and he speaks therefore of the forerunner of our Lord, preparing the way for the Messiah. And then the focus shifts to Christ himself with those great words in verse 10, "Behold your God." But in drawing our attention to the Lord Jesus there, and to his first coming into this world, and to his appearance at the beginning of his public ministry, the scriptures say this: "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." In other words, the prophet Isaiah presented Christ the Messiah in the role of the shepherd of Israel, ministering to the flock of God, to the needy, to the poor, to the lost, to the undone, to those who are indeed in themselves without a shepherd, and who need the one and only shepherd who is able to save the soul and deliver the heart from its guilt and its sin. And therefore it is very fitting that when the Lord was born at Bethlehem, the shepherds should have been the first to have seen him. And I want you to get that fact. Those who first saw the Lord Jesus Christ immediately after he was born were the shepherds, who went forth, as I said then, to speak of him and to declare of him that he had been born. And therefore they were going forth to declare the great truth that one had come forth who was to be the shepherd of the souls of all those given to him by God the Father. Now the New Testament passage that concentrates so powerfully and so mightily on Christ as the shepherd is John chapter 10. And for a number of weeks we have been in pursuit of our study of the verily, verily text in John's Gospel, and we have been focusing on the opening section here of John chapter 10, which especially underlines that Christ is the good shepherd, a term that signifies that he is the genuine and the true shepherd of the soul. That which gives rise to this discourse was, of course, the action of the Pharisees. They took to themselves the role of being shepherds over the congregation of Israel. But they were evil men. They were wicked men. They had no heart at all for those who were under their jurisdiction in the spiritual realm. And they showed that by excommunicating that man who had been born blind, but whom the Lord not only healed of his blindness, but saved by his own matchless grace. And in acting as they did, when they excommunicated this man, they were acclaiming themselves to be spiritual shepherds. They were taking power to themselves to do this very thing, but they did it unjustly and unfairly, and therefore the Lord immediately, intervened and came upon the scene again to expose their counterfeit and their wicked behavior, and in doing so to present themselves as the good shepherd. Now the Lord has been opening up these verses to us as we've been focusing on them over the past few weeks, and I feel it is very fitting that we look at them again, because when we look at the scriptures, I've already shown you today, the Lord shows us that Christ came in the very mind and will of God to be a shepherd for sinners. That's the reason why he was born. And we need to remind ourselves of that, and I'm not leaving this passage today to bring to you what some might call a Christmas message. I would do that if the Lord led me to do that. But I've been led to stay with these verses. But remember, even as we look at them again and deal with them again, we are actually and we are essentially dealing with the very essence and nature of the coming of our Lord into this world. Thank God he came to be a shepherd for sinners. He came to be a shepherd for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We've already noted the entrance of the true shepherd. He came by the door, we are told. He entered in by the door in contradistinction from the Pharisees, the false shepherds who climbed up another way and who therefore showed that they were unfit and they were unqualified because they were uncalled to be shepherds of God's people. But the Lord came as the true shepherd because he entered by the door. Therefore he could say that he is the shepherd of the sheep. And then we also looked at the economy of the true shepherd, the realm or the sphere of service which is given to him, which is of course to work among the sheep. A shepherd labours with sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ is the true shepherd, the genuine shepherd, and therefore he labours among those who are his sheep. We saw last week that he bought them. He is the proprietor of them because he laid down his life for those who were given to him in the divine purpose of God. And we also saw last week that he is the one who knows his sheep. And that's where we left off last week. His perception or his knowledge of the sheep that is brought so vividly before us in the verses that we find here in John chapter 10. I want to come to these verses again today and look with you at a couple of thoughts that sum up this whole portrayal that's here of Christ as the true shepherd. The one who came in the fullness of time to be the shepherd, to gather them to himself, to carry the lambs in his arms and gently bear those who are in need. Oh, this is the view of Christ right here. And there are people in this gathering today who need that shepherd. Lost, wandering, Christless souls in need of being encompassed by the love and the mercy and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are even people here today who could be rightly called wandering sheep. Because, my dear friend, you are not staying close to the shepherd, are you? You've been negligent, you've been careless, you've wandered, you've drifted far away. And you need to look again to the shepherd and return to him as he is presented to you in this glorious passage. We notice here the shepherd rescuing his sheep. In keeping with what I said last week about the Lord's perception of the sheep, there is this thought that he rescues them from the circumstances and the consequences into which they've been brought by their sin. And it's summed up there in verse 3, part B. He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. That language is indicative of the shepherd going to the rescue of those whom he perceives and knows to be his sheep. Notice with me that the Lord knows their position. We touched on this last week in the closing part of that service. He knows their position and therefore he rescues them. It is found there in verse 3, those same words where it says, he leadeth them out. He leadeth them out. And the idea there is, since the Lord knows his sheep and knows where they are, he knows their position in life, he knows their circumstances, he knows where sin has taken them, he knows where the world has taken them, and thank God he goes to lead them out. Just want you to turn quickly again to Ezekiel 34, to those wonderful verses 11 and 12, where this concept of the shepherd rescuing the sheep is clearly in view, and he rescues them from the position into which sin has brought them, and the position into which their own folly has brought them, and their own wandering, and even the position that they've been brought into as a result of a false shepherd scattering the flock. It's all here, Ezekiel 34, verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among the sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Notice this, the Lord knows every situation into which any one of his sheep might come, into which any one of his sheep might fall or be brought, through whatever circumstances might prevail upon them. And therefore, it is true indeed that the Lord rescues the sheep because he knows their position and he goes to find them. That's what happened in John 9. There was a man there who was a lost sheep. He was blind physically, but more than that, he was blind spiritually. And the Lord not only opened his eyes physically, but thank God he opened the eyes of his understanding. And that man could declare, one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. And he was not merely speaking of his physical sight there. He was speaking of his spiritual sight. The Lord opened his eyes because the Lord found him, knowing where he was, and he brought him unto himself. The Lord does know the positions of those who are his sheep. He knows exactly where they are. And therefore, he goes to rescue them. Notice as well that the Lord knows their plight, and therefore he rescues them. He knows not only their possessions, but their plight. Think of those words again, and leadeth them out. The emphasis on the word out, because it indicates that they are in a situation that is adverse to their souls, detrimental to their spiritual well-being. He leads them out, we are told. And that adversity that I speak of, that which is adverse to the soul of any man, is his sinful and his lost condition. Now the Word of God makes it clear that there is a segment of humanity who are destined to be the Lord's sheep, and yet they are lost in and of themselves and will remain lost until they are rescued by the shepherd from that lost estate, until he brings them out. And that's the great quest that the Lord is on throughout time. He is on that great quest of finding the sheep, as we have shown you, rescuing them from where they are and out of the plight into which sin has brought them. We think of the great words of Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Or Peter's words, 1 Peter 2:25, ye were as sheep gone astray, but you've returned to the shepherd and bishop of your soul. My dear friend, the Lord knows the plight you are in. Sin causes a plight in a man's life. Sin causes chaos. Sin brings heartache and disaster. It brings eventually eternal ruin if you're not delivered by the grace of God. But thank God there's a shepherd who knows Not only where the sheep is, but who knows what that man needs, what that wandering, straying sheep needs, that he might be delivered, or she might be delivered and rescued and brought to a place of acceptance and fellowship with God. Look at the great parable in Luke 15, and you read there in the first section of that parable of this very theme of the shepherd coming into the world to find the sheep that is lost. Luke 15, verse 4, it says toward the end of verse 4 that he goes after that which is lost until he find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I want you to see that. You who are here today in your sin, without God, without Christ, do you not see that you are lost? What is it that marks a man as a sinner in the sight of God? It is this little word, lost. But the Lord Jesus Christ goes forth into this world, as that parable depicts, and he suffers everything that is essential for him to suffer in order to find that lost sheep. And he goes to all lengths and he suffers every form of pain and suffering and agony and shame until he rescues the sheep. He's in that great business because he knows the plight into which sin has brought men. And he rescues them from it because he took sin upon himself. He became the surety, as it says in Hebrews. And that simply means that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who put himself in the place of the sinner and obliged himself to discharge all the sinner's debts and to pay for all the sinner's sin in order to bring him home, in order to save him, in order to rescue him. My dear friend, I trust today you will think of where sin has brought you. Some of you sitting here today in this gathering are people who once professed to be in the flock of God. Sheep, you claim to be. But at least we are able to say you've wandered. You're not walking with the shepherd. You're not following the shepherd. You've wandered afar off. You've turned into the follies of the world and the bypath meadows of sin. And today, my dear friend, while you may try to convince yourself that you have really found life and enjoyment and satisfaction, in your heart of hearts, you know there's something wrong. You know that all is not well at all. And you've wandered far away. And sin has wrought havoc in your life in so many ways. Do you not realize, my dear friend, that you are in need of deliverance? And thank God there's one who's able to rescue you and draw you back out of that way into which you've gone, pardon you for your sins, and restore you by his grace. Then look again with me, and you'll notice that Christ, the shepherd, not only knows their possessions and their plight, but he knows their powerlessness, and he rescues them. It says here in this passage before us, looking again at those words, verse 3, it says there, he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And the idea there is, again, if you think about it carefully, indeed the word leadeth brings it out, indicating that the Lord goes to them and he actually consciously and deliberately draws them out of the situations into which their own sin and folly have brought them. The word leadeth there actually means to bring. He calleth his own sheep by name and bringeth them out. Now that infers that the sheep are powerless. Any man here today with a farming background, and there are many like that, you know exactly how, not only how foolish a sheep is, but how powerless a sheep is when it gets into trouble. And how apt the description of man is, as the Lord takes the sheep, that helpless, fickle, powerless creature, that foolish creature, and uses it as a description of man. Oh, sinner, he's trying to tell you something. He is telling you something. He's telling you, you can't save yourself. You can't lift a finger to help yourself. You're not only lost, but you're hopelessly lost. And man and woman, who by virtue of the fact that you once professed faith in the Lord but have wandered far away, who put yourself now in the class of a backslider, you are helpless as well. Powerless. But thank God there's a shepherd who rescues the sheep from that powerless, helpless condition. He does it through the preaching of the word. Look there at verse 3. It says, he calleth his own sheep by name and leads them or brings them out. The focus there is on the voice of the shepherd. And how is the voice of the shepherd heard except through his own word and through the preaching of that word? That's how the Lord brings them out. They are brought under the sound of the word of the shepherd, and it begins to penetrate. It begins to probe the conscience. It begins to take a dealing with the soul. And anxiety is born. Trouble is born. Concern is born there. And that lost sheep begins to realize, I am indeed lost. And I can't do a thing to save myself. And I can't do a thing to restore myself. And the concern begins to rise and begins to broaden, and the heart is consumed with this thought, I am lost. Oh, the power of the Word of God to find the lost sheep. Would you look with me at Acts chapter 18 and notice an illustration of how the shepherd's call to the lost one is heard. And through that, he or she is brought out of that state of sin and being fallen before God. Acts chapter 18. And look with me at verse 10, where the Apostle Paul is ministering in Corinth. And when he went there at first, there was great opposition and great trial placed upon him, so much so that he was discouraged. And he was also afraid. Because in Acts 18 verse 10 it says, or verse 9, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. Do you notice that? The Lord Jesus went to Paul, and he says, listen, Paul, I know you're afraid, and I know the circumstances are real, and there's much adversity, but Paul, be not afraid. Paul, speak. Paul, don't hold your peace. Why? Verse 10, for I am with thee, and no man shall set in thee to hurt thee. Now those words were designed to deal with his fear. Paul, be not afraid, for I am with thee, and no man shall set in thee to hurt thee. And then look at the next words in verse 10. For I have much people in this city. And those words have to do with what the Lord said to him, speak and hold not thy peace, for I have much people in this city. Do you see what is in view here? The Lord is telling Paul that he had much people, that is many people, in the city of Corinth while it still lay in wickedness. See, my friend, in Corinth there were lost sheep. The Lord says, listen, Paul, I'll take care of your enemies. Don't you be afraid. You keep on preaching, because I have many people in this city, and I'm on the quest. I'm on the search. I'm going to rescue them. They're helpless, Paul. They're powerless. Oh, men and women, you only have to read 1 Corinthians to see the kind of people who were brought to Christ in Corinth. To see there the vivid description of their sin and their ungodliness and their wickedness. And yet, the Lord had purposed to save them. and bring them out. They said, Paul, you keep on preaching, because I have much people in this city. They're my sheep, and I'm going to save them. And I'm going to do it through your ministry, Paul. And that's exactly what happened. Oh, what a mighty awakening there was in the city of Corinth. That city that was the chief of the cities of Greece in that day. The home and the center of the great philosophers. But yet, the home and the center of every vice and every wickedness known and practiced by man. As I said, you only have to read 1 Corinthians to see the kind of situation into which Paul went, and the terrible depths of sin into which the people there had sunk. It mentions in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians a list of sinners and their wickedness, which is indeed almost enough to make a man blush as he reads it. Where Paul says, know ye not. And he mentions who? He mentions the adulterers. He mentions the sodomites. He mentions the drunkards. He mentions the liars and the extortioners. And so on and so on. And he says, such were some of you. Now, do you see that, dear man? There are some of the sheep of the Lord. What were they? And I've just repeated there. Where were they? Absolutely lost. Hopeless, helpless. Let me tell you something. They are the very same people as those who today many would give up as being beyond hope. But the Apostle Paul could say when he said to them, "But and such were some of you," and then comes that wonderful word, but ye are washed. Ye are sanctified, and ye are justified by the Spirit of our God and in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do you see, my dear friend, that when the shepherd goes after the sheep, he finds it, and he finds it through the preaching of the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. May I say to you today who sit in this meeting, unsaved people, may I say to you with all the warmth and the tenderness that I can present to you, oh, my dear friend, come under the Word of God. Not once, not twice, not on special occasions, and we're glad to see you on special occasions, but not then only. Put yourself under the regular preaching of the Word of God. Come, my friend, and deal with your soul. Take stock of yourself. See where you are. See where you're going. See where the world has taken you. See, my friend, where sin is taking you. It's taking you down to hell. As fast as time is also carrying you. And you have wasted years of your life in pursuit of that which doesn't satisfy, and that which only blights and curses and leads you to ruin. That's how you've spent your life. Many, many years have gone by with some of you, a lifetime of sinning. And yet, you're not concerned. And yet, maybe at the same time you are. Maybe there's a thought in your mind, I'm not right with God, I'm not ready to die, I have no hope for the future, is there any hope for me? Ah, man, let me tell you, get under the Word of God week by week, sit under its sound, because the Lord calls his sheep through the preaching of the Word, through the pronouncement of the glorious message of God's grace. And you who claim to be sheep, but I've wondered. wandered farther, some of you, from the fold. And the very fact you have wandered is evident in that you have neglected the means of grace. Let me tell you something. And I speak now to those in this meeting who would profess to be Christians, or have professed at some part to be Christians, some point to be Christians. What is the sign of a man who's saved and going on with God? What's the sign of one who's truly a sheep in the shepherd's fold and is safe and secure? And there's the evidence of that security. It's a person, or he or she is a person, who has got an appetite for the Word of God and is feeding on the Word of God and is delighting in the Word of God. But right here you fall down, my friend. Do you not realize that the lack of appetite, never mind anything else, because I know not what your private affairs are, and it's none of my business. As I look out today and I see you, I say to myself, there's a man, there's a woman, there's a person, young or old, who's showing the sign of neglecting the Word of God and the means of grace. And my friend, as I was saying, I don't know, I don't have any idea what you may think yourself to be, but I'm telling you this, backsliding has already started. You are a backslider. Now, we use that term advisedly. I speak of those who were once truly saved. The evidence was there. But now the negligence is written all over the life, all over the attitude, all over the behavior. No, my friend, you have no time for God, no time for Christ, no time for spiritual matters. Really, your appetite is in another direction. Do you not realize the state into which you have sunk and the condition into which you have come? Do you not therefore realize just how hopeless and helpless your condition really is? But thank God there's a shepherd who seeks out his sheep through the preaching of the Word of God. And therefore, dear man, dear woman, listen to what God says to your soul. And seek him with all your heart and with all your mind. May I turn you to John chapter 17. John's Gospel chapter 17. Just to show you that the Lord seeks out his sheep not only by the preaching of the word, but through prayer. John 17, and look at verse 20. The Lord Jesus is praying, and he says this, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe in me through their word." Now, I want you to look at that verse carefully. He says, "Neither pray I for these alone." That refers to the disciples who were with him. Then he says, "But for them also, which shall believe in me." That refers to those who were not yet saved, but who would be saved. And oh, the marvelous thing is that for every child of God in this meeting, that verse has great significance. Do you realize, believer, that when the Lord prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane 2,000 years ago, he prayed for you? Do you realize that? He says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe in me." And that's future. And that takes us to the very end of time. Because until the end of time, there will be people who will believe in Christ and will be saved. And they're all included in that great statement. Not for these alone, but for those who shall believe in me. The Lord prays for his sheep. And the glorious thing is, I want you to see this, his praying and his preaching are brought together here. For it says this, "For them also which shall believe in me through their word." Do you see that? Preaching and praying are joined together. And here is the hallmark, therefore, of a Christ-centered ministry and a Christ-centered church and a Christ-centered burden for souls. Let me put it to you this way. You who are not saved and you who are backslidden, there's a people in this congregation who never cease to pray for you. Your names are mentioned. You're the object of much prayer. And it is the prayer of those who seek God's face for you that you will believe in Jesus Christ through the Word, or you will be restored to Jesus Christ through the Word. Preaching and praying go together. Remember what the apostle said in Acts 6. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. You see it again there. Prayer and preaching brought together. Ah, men and women, this is the need of the hour. This is the need of the day. This is the need of Bellamina. This is the need of your life. You who are lost and wandering and far from God, you need to be under the influence of a praying church and a preaching church. Dear man, dear woman, let this not be your one and only visit to this church. We want you to come again and again and again and sit under that which the Lord Jesus Christ Himself has appointed. And we say that simply and only because we have a burden to see you saved and right with God, and to see those wandering ones drawn back again into fellowship with Jesus Christ. Dear sinner, dear backslider, there is a shepherd. He rescues souls. May you seek Him today with all your heart, with all your being. Because while you are here visiting with us today, thank God, if it pleases the Lord, that's all that's needed. You've been reminded. You have again been shown your need. Today, therefore, rise up and flee to Christ. Seek Him, man. Have done with the world and its foolishness, its sin, its emptiness, its vanity. Have done with a life of negligence and carelessness. And this day hasten to Calvary. Hasten to the One who is able to save, who is able to restore. Come to Him. Come and seek Him. And may His grace and power be felt by you. And if I may help you before I close, may I say this. If I may help you, my dear friend, in these matters, I want you to know that I will give you all the time that's required to sit down, to do business with God, to seek for what the Lord would have for us. May you make that need known. May you make that need known today with the Lord of mercy, the Lord save. Let's all bow together before our God in prayer. We bow in the Lord's presence. We will Just lift up our hearts to Him. And then the meeting will be closed with prayer and benediction. My dear friend, I want to renew that appeal to your heart that I am here to help you in whatever way I can in the spiritual realm. And I therefore would urge you to make known today, whether immediately after this meeting or whenever it's convenient, your desire to get right with God. I'd be glad to hear from you. O God, our Father, we pray this day that Thou wilt take Thy word and use it. We thank Thee for the one who came as the shepherd of the sheep to rescue the lost, to seek them out and find them in the cloudy and dark day of sin and woe. O Heavenly Father, Thou knowest the hearts of all in this very gathering. Pray, Lord, that Thou wilt draw Thy sheep, bring them out of their sin and their darkness and their waywardness. And even this very hour, O God, do that great work. Save by Thy sovereign grace and move by Thy mighty power. Have mercy, we pray. Answer prayer for us. Lord, bless those who are Thine. Work in their hearts. And Lord, may there be much done today for Thy glory and for the praise of Thy great and holy name. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Spirit abide with all of the people of God, both today and forevermore. We pray in the Savior's name. Amen.